What a week this has been. I want you to think about two words for a moment. Now what? Now what? Our emotions are high. Our hearts burn within us. Our goals are set. Our guard is up to face the days ahead. We've been apart from the world this week, and we left our everyday responsibilities for a while. In return, we've had a week of sharing, a week of fellowship, a week of song, a week of testimony, and a week of dialogue and lessons from the platform. What a week this has been. Our joys come from a source which the world cannot comprehend. We live on a higher plane, breathe a purer atmosphere, and enjoy a holier, sweeter friendship than the world can ever offer. And in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, in the 15th verse, we read, "Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Oh, yes, there were little things that sort of interrupted our tranquility, perhaps at times, getting oriented to new surroundings, new conditions, new situations. But as brethren always do, it was handled beautifully. Thanks for being so great. We've been on holy ground, brethren. Somehow you get the feeling after being at a convention with our brethren, wherever it be, the surroundings embrace us, and we feel so special. We are special. We are told we are the apple of our Father's eye. We're His chosen vessels. We're His family. Don't you feel it? It's in the fiber of our being, isn't it? Again, brethren, now what? What are we going to do? How has this changed our life? How will it change our life? The responsibility is ours. Our vision is clearer than ever before. We must focus on the past week as a special experience to make this vision work in our lives. Let it motivate us. Let it be our singleness of purpose. As we reflect upon the past week, we realize that it has brought us into proper perspective, especially in relationship to our priorities. Our goals are fine-tuned and defined. We were fortified and prepared because we know not what awaits us. The experience of this week presents a challenge to us, brethren, a challenge to love our God supremely, to love our brethren, and to let it show. That's the important part that sometimes we neglect. Let it show. Let them know. And more importantly, let them feel it. Let them feel it. It was a great week to measure ourselves with our brethren. Were we pleased with what we saw within ourselves? Did we, on the other hand, observe the self-sacrificing qualities of our brethren? It was demonstrated in so many ways at this convention. Did it enkindle a desire to emulate? Did we see growth in our brethren? Is it evident in ourselves? Did we fellowship with some that when you left them, you felt inspired, you felt encouraged? You just knew that they had a close walk with the Heavenly Father. Could others say that about us? Ours is a peculiar race. It is one that when we help others, we help ourselves. How could one lose if our goal is Christ? The stakes are more than fair, brethren. Our Heavenly Father is more than fair. He rewards. As we remind ourselves of the lessons of this convention, the scripture of Revelation, the 15th chapter and the 3rd verse comes to mind. Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Among the most marvelous of all his works is the great plan for the redemption and salvation of the whole world of mankind. And how this thrills us. There are so few that have this hope for others. But it thrills us, not only for ourselves, but also for others. The plan is described symbolically as the song of Moses and the Lamb. But in order to sing this song, it is first important to learn it. And this is why we've been here the past 6 days. We realize the need a fervent study of the Word. Do we stop here? Think again, brethren. Now what? Is this going to change your life? This is our each and every individual responsibility. We can expect the Lord to help us if we remain loyal to Him. Paul was in a Roman prison when he wrote to the brethren at Philippi. And at that time when he had written that letter, he wasn't certain that he would ever see them again. Do you realize that some of us could experience this? We may not see each other again. However, he was confident that the Lord would care for them. It was the Lord who had begun a good work in them, and it was the Lord who was able to finish it. Let us, brethren, keep this basic truth in mind, namely, that it was God who gave us the truth, and regardless of what the circumstances of life might be, the same God is able to keep us if we continue to do His will. Truly, with us is our God to help us. We may sow and water, but it is God who giveth the increase. This is one of the fundamental aspects of our relationship to God and to one another. Another basic truth in our fellowship is that love must be the governing principle of our lives. Paul said in Philippians 1:9, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. And we realize, don't we, that true Christian love is just not a fondness of others, nor a friendship based upon congeniality. It is the divine principle of unselfishness, properly guided by knowledge of the truth, a knowledge that enables one to approve things which are excellent. Love cannot approve or condone that which is wrong. And so our minds were guided throughout the week, and perhaps throughout the months prior to the convention on the theme text. Put on love, it is the bond of completeness. Paul explained to the brethren at Philippi that his imprisonment had resulted in the furtherance of the gospel, for which he expressed great joy. Paul was committed to the furtherance of the gospel and through a ministry which indeed had blessed the brethren. This should be a vital part of our fellowship in the gospel. In verse 27 of Philippians, the first chapter, Paul urges us to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, it hasn't been difficult for us at the convention to strive together for the faith of the gospel, for we have all been striving on one side. But it will be different when we go home. The world, the flesh, and the adversary, they will unite to draw us away from the truth by deceitful, cunning sophistry, by pleasing allurements which offer an easier way to serve the Lord. It is then, brethren, that through prayer and cooperation we'll need to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Again, for a moment, as we reflect upon this convention, brethren, now what? You may have noticed that the message of the convention placed the accent on one little word, more. Over and over again, the brethren were exhorted to bear more fruit, John 15:2, and to increase more and more, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the 9th and 10th verse. The brethren were exhorted to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any times we should let them slip. Hebrews 2:1. It was pointed out that while we should hold on to the basic doctrines of the truth and contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, we also were to grow in grace and in knowledge. And so, at this convention, we had much doctrinal reinforcement. We were especially reinforced on the subject, a very important subject, of the second presence. And then we also had the new covenant. We had highlighted for us the experiences of Israel. We had a wonderful panel discussion on the experiences of the current time. So all of this was arranged by the Lord in such a way where we've had a balanced Christian diet for the new creature. The brethren were admonished to desire more faith, especially in God's great gift of love, which is our Lord Jesus. What a great benefice we received through him who gave himself a ransom for all. We want not only more faith in the Savior and his redeeming blood, but a greater appreciation of his tender loving care in all the affairs of our lives. We want also more of the written word. Since no one can have hope without faith, so no one can have faith without knowledge. As Paul tells us in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this was our pleasure and joy at this convention. Another way in which we could look at this word more, we want to be more fit for the kingdom. And that's why it's important that we give heed to these two words. Now what will we do to make us more fit for the kingdom? The exceeding great and precious promises by which we attain the kingdom are often almost staggering to our faith. But we may be sure that there is only one way to gain an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord, and that is by the inspiration of these promises and obedience to the conditions attached to them. This, brethren, will be accomplished by adding the virtues of grace outlined by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1:5-7. It is the abounding of these qualities that will gain for us an abundant entrance into the kingdom. On one occasion, the master performed a miracle on a man. And then he said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for thee." Let us go home, brethren, and spread the glad tidings of this convention. He has performed a miracle in us, for his word has been multiplied in our hearts. We have much to tell our friends and the brethren concerning the joys of this convention. The remainder of my time is for you to consider. Now what, brethren? What a week this has been.